It deals with purposeful walk, and I'm sure Brother Collins is going to expound on that during his message. So it reads, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Again, that is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, we thank you for bringing us in here this morning, allowing us to, again, come together to worship you, to be with you, and to hear your word, that it will provide us the wisdom, the courage, and the foresight to operate as the Christians that you would have us be. We thank you for allowing us to be here with the next generation, the graduates who are here. We just thank you so much for blessing them and allowing them to step into the world. We ask that you give them the wisdom and the guidance to walk with purpose in their lives and continue to keep your hand on them as they enter this world, Father, and provide all of us the wisdom we need to be the Christians that you would have us be. We just ask that you watch over those who are struggling with any type of circumstance, Father, that they may get the necessary help that they need. And we, again, just thank you for your many blessings and continuing to guide us and allowing us to walk this earth as your children to one day have a seat in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing it will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout, shout the victory.
Luke chapter 4. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove Jesus out of the town, and took Jesus to the brow of a hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But Jesus walked right through the crowd and went on his way. Amen. What a wonderful morning it is. We've got to have hot days as well as cool days. I'm grateful to God for all of those. I also want to say that I'm grateful to God that those who have had surgeries have recovered. We want to continue as a congregation to pray for those who are grieving at this time as well. We want to pray for those who are traveling as well, that they might return to us safely as well. And as far as traveling goes, I got to tell you that I'm a little disappointed. Brother Banks isn't here today. He's out traveling. And I'm thinking to myself that he didn't call me by my name at the door this morning. And what I mean by that is every time I come in the door, he has a name for me, just like, you know, Peter went to Simon and and Jacob went to Israel. When I get to the door in the morning, he says, "Hola." So I'm thinking, since he calls me all the time, that's my name. He's just changed it, you know. I don't really know what it means, but I didn't hear my name called this morning, so it might affect the sermon. Certainly, we can open our Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and my invitation for you to join me there is these verses will serve as the context for today's lesson, Purposeful Walk. When we get to Proverbs, chapter 4, we're just going to park right there because that's going to be the substance of our entire lesson. We're going to park on Proverbs chapter 4. Today is a day that we honor God every first day of the week. And as an adjunct to that, today is also a day that we're going to honor those who have graduated are from schools, colleges and elementary schools and high schools and whatever you graduated from, we're going to try and honor you on this morning. Some students are here this morning. They're going to be driving to school for the very first time. Some are going to be driving to work because they're finished and graduated from college. And for the first time, some are going to be going to work. I want to tell you, it's an exciting time. And just as with that excitement and anticipation comes the concerned parent. Parents are going to want to know whether you're going to be safe. They want to know whether you're going to eat right, whether you're going to have good grades. They worry about just about anything. Are you going to make decent friends? Parents are going to worry about if you're going to remember who you are or if you're just going to lose your mind. And beyond that, they're going to have greater concerns about greater matters, parents do. And these concerns are about things that could ultimately affect your soul. The reason is that they know you're going to face some challenges. You're going to be a part of an environment which includes broken homes and broken hearts. You're going to be in a company of people who have witnessed family circumstances that were just not ideal all the time. And oftentimes, as a product of that, they feel confused, and sometimes they feel worthless with low self-esteem. And that comes from a result of being a witness to harmful relationships as opposed to helpful and loving relationships that build each other up. I also want to say that this comes from friendships as well. We can have ups and downs in our own friendships, and they alone can certainly be a challenge to our lives as well. People who are graduating high school and college are coming to their own. It's wonderful and it's a good thing. But listen, I want you to know, young people, and those of you who are young-minded, I want to tell the young people this morning that you have graduated from high school and or college, and you're going to find yourselves, we just coming in hot, I just got to give it to you this morning because I need you to hear me. You're graduating from high school and from college, and you're going to attend college, you're going to attend a job, and you're going to find yourself engaged with people who are intent on doing evil. Now listen to me. Even if you go to a Christian college or Christian high school, there are people there who are intent on the five things that we look at every time. They're intent on drinking. They're intent on smoking, and some even doing gummies. Hello. Intent on cursing and sex and drugs. I got to tell you, in that environment, this is going to be their focus for the next 8 months or so. Some people that you're going to meet will have no regard for authority, no regard for rules or no one else. And they don't try to because they don't care. And these are people who make a long day even longer. Yeah, but amen. They make it longer on the job. They make it longer at school. And not only that, they try to influence others to join in with them. The fact of the matter is that this will always be the case because of the fallen state of mankind. Secondly, your parents know that you will attend a school or work with those who have broken morality. I need you to hear me this morning. You're going to attend schools with people who have broken morality. Listen to me. In fact, you're going to face the openness of gay and lesbian students and co-workers, which oftentimes includes even the teachers or the professors there who are going to try to get you to do the same thing. And what you're going to face in that setting is a demand for acceptance and a reprimand if you do not. That's a challenge. Therein lies a challenge. When you leave away from home, you are doing something that is really really a challenge to your life. It's a different world from where I came from. But nevertheless, it's the reality of the day. It's what it is. Now, shortly, we're going to look at the book of Proverbs chapter 4, but not right now. But shortly, we're going to look at Proverbs 4 and give some thought to the concept of making your steps one at a time so we can declare your walk with God as a purposeful walk. The only way you can walk is take one step at a time. Some people probably live their lives in phases. And that's okay to plan things in phases, but you only get one day at a time. So take that one step at a time and allow God to guide your life. Whether you're 18 or 80, there are three undeniable realities that apply to all of us. For all of us, 18 or 80, our convictions are going to be assaulted. Let me tell you, your convictions are going to be assaulted. We're living in a fallen world where all that glitters is just not gold. As a matter of fact, gold is not gold. Everything that looks pretty isn't pretty. It's just not pretty at all. As a matter of fact, it's an ugly world that we live in. It's just not pretty. Think about Jesus, who was treated unkindly. He was often called names, demon-possessed, a Samaritan who doesn't know God. I mean, even his own family thought he was out of his mind. But for us, it's a little bit different, and that's why Peter said, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. You keep your conduct among those in the world honorable, so that when they speak against you as evil, they may see your good works and glorify God. Peter says, look, people are going to say bad things about you. That's just the way it is. They're going to do that. People are going to look at you differently. That's just the way it is. And your convictions are going to be assaulted. The point of that is, what we sing and what we pray, the things we sing about, the things we pray about in this very room collectively as a body of Christ, the things that we teach in this room should not disappear on Monday morning. Whether you're at work or whether you're at school, they should not disappear. The presence of God should live with you every waking moment of your life. We need to take what's done in this room. You take it to school with us and take it to work with us. And even in school, take it from the first class even on to graduation. You know, someone has said that those who put their spiritual lives on hold at school are about to be picked up and body slammed. You're about to come into a grave reality. What you're about to come into? In other words, if you don't take what you sing and pray and believe when you leave this building, nothing good is out there waiting for you. Nothing good is going to happen in your life. If you want to know that at some point in your academic career, let me tell you something. When you step outside of the protected boundaries of a Christian environment, you can be sure that your convictions are going to be assaulted. And how are you going to do with that? How are you doing with it now? Yes, at some point you will be told that you're just narrow-minded. At some point you're going to be told that you're bigoted or you're prejudiced and judgmental. And your faith will come under assault at that particular time. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do? Let me tell you what else. Your values will always be challenged. Peter says, listen, don't think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. He says, they think it bad of you that you don't join them in their reckless and wild living. They heap abuse on you because you refuse to turn up. Well, isn't that what everybody go to college to do? They heap abuse on you because you refuse to turn up. And I know that there are young folks and some among us who have come to know the Lord. They are Christian beings. They are Christian people belonging to God. They've come to know the Lord and have somehow got caught with their values down. They've got caught with their values down because they walk with people on the other side of righteousness and they wonder what happened to them. You know, parents don't tell you the things that they need to tell you for nothing. But sometimes we find ourselves so grown that things go in one ear and out of the other, and we never find solace. We walk with people on the other side of the aisle, and we wonder what happened to us. And finally, we get to a point when we decide that it isn't a phase that we're going through. It isn't something that we have to get over. the ones that we're walking with, they heap abuse on us and they challenge our values. The ones that we want to be friends with, the ones we want to hang out with, they heap abuse on us. And they challenge our values. I've always told my kids over and over again, you are an eagle. I don't want to look around and see you scratching in a chicken pen with hens. It's time to fly and let people know that you belong to God. We don't belong in a chicken coop scratching and don't compromise your faith. Don't allow your values to be challenged to the point where you just surrender. Don't value the people that you walk with over God. Because you will be influenced to do wrong. And let's just be honest about that. Our adversary, the devil, will, whether you're young or old, he will put people and opportunities in our way to encourage us to do wrong. And for our young people, I would say to you that temptation is alive and well. Everywhere you go, it's alive and well. In school, you have temptation to cheat. You ever done it? You have temptation to skirt the rules. Have you ever done it? You have temptation to be immoral in speech and in behavior. Listen, we have temptation to mistreat those who are very easy to be mistreated. Because in every class, you have one person who will not quite fit in. They haven't really found their stride in life yet. They're always struggling socially to interact and to get along. And these are the people that are extraordinarily easy to mistreat. And let me just tell you something. Satan will give you the opportunity to do it. He will give you the opportunity by virtue of your peers. They will influence you to mistreat that person and walk in unrighteousness. I'm talking about Christian young people. They will influence you. The world will influence you to mistreat other people and not walk in righteousness. But as we know, if we belong to Christ, we see his example. As Jesus walked, he lifted people up. He walked in and he lit the room up. He lifted people. You ever met anybody like that? They just lift people up because they could. That's who you need to be. He was forever spending time with those people who make us uncomfortable. Anybody ever make you uncomfortable and you still stick right there with them because you want to belong? Jesus walked with people who make us uncomfortable. Listen to me. You and I, all of us, you will be influenced to do wrong. And none of that changes as you get older. As a matter of fact, most times the older we get, the messier we get. And like I said before, that's why we need a what? A Messiah. Peter said, he said it loud and clear. In 1 Peter 5:8, you be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I want to tell you something about that scripture. We read it all the time, but I want you to know it's not written in invisible ink. It's not going to disappear. It's not. The devil will chase you down. He'll chase you down at work. He'll chase you down at school. He'll chase you down in your friendships and provide opportunities for you to compromise your faith in some way. He'll chase you down and provide opportunities for you to compromise your convictions and your values. Let me tell you something right now. The devil will chase you down in your marriage. You chase you down on vacation. Well, you know, I'm on vacation this week. I don't have to go to church where I'm at because nobody at the church is going to see me whether I go or not. But God sees. God knows. In some way, your convictions and your values will be challenged. And when they're challenged, you know what we do? Most of the time, we take the path of least resistance and we just hide our faith. We hide it. We don't want anybody to know we belong to Christ, the Church of Christ. What? No, no. What? We hide our faith. We just watch our faith disappear in the face of sin that's all around us because we want to be with the crowd. Be ye separate, come out from among them. That sound familiar? But in the face of sin, we find ourselves tiptoeing, walking on eggshells and hiding our faith. So what we got to decide is how we're going to live and walk in this evil world. Because this is what Jesus said, each and every one of us. He said it this way. He said, in your world, in the world where you live, in the world where you do life, he said in the mountain message, let your light so shine among men that they might see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven. Whatever world you live in, wherever you do life at, let your light shine. So let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 4, as Solomon said to his son. He says, look, son, I know you're going to be on your own. You're going to make your own way. I know that. He said, I'm not going to be there to protect you all the time, and I can't make decisions for you either. So I'm going to tell you four things that will help your walk in this life. Number one is what he says. Remember that the things in this life that matter, they really matter. The things in this life that matter, they really matter. Verse number 20 through 22. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. If you want life and health, physically and spiritually, if you want life and health, listen to what God says. And don't let them out of your sight. Because if you do that, it will be good for you. Be wonderful. It's why Paul wrote in Colossians 3:16, you know, we always talk about the bottom of the verse, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Let's talk about the bottom of that verse, right? But I want you to look at the beginning of that verse in Colossians 3:16. It says, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the words of Christ, we don't look at the top, we look at the bottom because we want to try and teach people about singing, right? Here's a lesson for you right here. Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. And the implication is the reason Christians think and behave the way they do is because the word of Christ is not dwelling in them richly. I'll tell you what verse 22:22 tells me. It says that you can be young and you can walk with God. It says you can be old or older and you can walk with God. It says you can be the most popular person on campus and you can walk with God. You can be the most obscure person who nobody knows your name and you can walk, but you gotta want to. And you can walk with God. It says that the things that really matter, they matter. And they matter to God also. Look at verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it springs the issues of life. You keep your heart. It's your responsibility. Nobody can or will do that for you. In fact, in most cases, people will break your heart. Break it. That's why verse 23 says you need to be diligent about that. Because your heart really defines who you are. Listen to me. Your heart defines who you are. Jesus says, look, it's from within your heart that really bad things happen. I mean, the reason people say and do the things they should not say or do is because evil is stored up in their heart. Everything evil begins by what you think. So our walk needs to have a purpose. You know, there's a meme that was going around a while back. It still might be going around right now. And the meme says, you be you. You be you. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say you be you. It says you be conformed in the image of God's dear Son. That's what it says. And when you do that, you will control your heart for good purposes and not for evil. Here's the next thing he tells his son. Stop lying. That's what he says. He says, you be honest even if it hurts. It hurts. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Here we go. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. That's a challenge for all of us, young and old alike. It's a challenge. You know, I grew up in Gramercy. And look, not being truthful is like riding a bike down a levee. Let me tell you, on one side of the levee, they got the river. On the other side of the levee, they got the road. You got to decide which side of the levee you want to go down, because both of them getting in debt, especially when you get the momentum going and you can't stop it. That's what not telling the truth is like. Once you pick up momentum, it's hard to stop. So you get hung up with excuses and you got to tell another lie, right? You get hung up. It's hard to stop. Here's what somebody well said. If you're good at making excuses, you will never be very good at anything else. And that becomes your life walk. That becomes who you are. So put away from you devious intent. Put away deceit and deceitful words. Paul says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he shall reap. That's the principle of God that never changes. It'll never go away. So stop playing hide and seek with the truth. Stop. I know sometimes young people, when you tell the truth, you get in trouble. But stop playing hide and seek with the truth, because it'll keep you from being the person that God has called you to be. And fourth and finally, you know what he says to his son? He said, be careful where you go. You ever find yourself somewhere and you look around and you say, what in the world am I doing here? Well, how you got there? Those same feet that you're standing on brought you there, right? Be careful, he says, where you go. Verse 25, he says, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Pound the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. He tells his son, be careful where you go. And the way you do that is to look straight ahead, because we tend to walk where we're looking. At least we used to. Now we're doing this. Listen, we tend to walk where we are looking, whether it's for good or for bad. We walk where we're looking. So he says, listen, son, don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your focus and don't be distracted. We get distracted so easy. Let me just say to you, before you walk into a new setting, whatever it might be, before you walk into a new school year, before you walk into a new job, before you walk into a new relationship, or whatever it might be, I just want to ask three simple questions to you. Number one, ask this to yourself as well. Will this honor the Lord? Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord, and give thanks to God the Father through him. Make sure that whatever you do falls under the umbrella of being pleasing to God. If you feel like you got to curse out your wife, is it pleasing? Does it fall under the umbrella of pleasing God? And make sure that you can give thanks to God for that, because if you can't give thanks for God for it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. Second thing is, ask yourself, will this help or hurt me? Will it help me physically? Will it help or hurt me emotionally? Will it help or hurt me spiritually? You know, this matters in the grand scheme of things, because it's going to be about a about that long. And you're going to turn around, and before you even know it, nobody's going to care or even ask about your GPA. Nobody's going to care whether you were Spartan or Ron Eagle or Bulldog or Saint. They're not going to care. No one's going to care about your ACT score. No one's going to ask you about past friendships because they will be gone out of life, out of sight and out of mind. Well, let me tell you what people are going to be concerned about. People are going to be concerned about your character. They're going to be concerned about your integrity. They're going to be concerned about who you are and what you value. People are going to be concerned about your heart, and your faith will be at issue at that time. Your convictions, your value, and your faith will be on the line at that time. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with it? So you need to ask yourself right now, is what I'm going to do, is it going to help me or hurt me? And is it going to help me get to heaven? I mean, if that's where you want to go. Is it going to help me to get to heaven? Number three, what about my influence on others? What about that? Paul wrote, let your gentleness and your moderation, let the way you live the Christian life be evident to all, because the Lord is near. You know what he means by that? He means that, you live life in such a way that when people look at you, that when people are in your company, that when people hear you speak, they will know the Lord is standing by your side. They will know that the Lord is near you. They will know that when you speak and say, look, let's go shoot a few, or let's go pull down a few, or let's go do a couple of gummies. People will know by the way that you behave where the Lord is standing by your side, that you are walking with the Lord and that your walk is a purpose-driven walk. Here's what the Bible has to say. Noah and Enoch walk with God. We are to walk in light. We are to walk in love. We are to walk circumspectly. We are to walk in the newness of life. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. We ought to walk after the manner of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:15, the Amplified Version, I like it because it just brings it to life. Don't use it all the time, but just it brings it to life. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, living life with purpose, living life with courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil. How you doing with that one? Not as the unwise, but as wise, being sensible, intelligent, and discerning people. You know, I would that all of us, let all of us be a people, be a family, let all of us be a church who constantly prays for our young and young adults and in this minefield of life and the challenges that they bring. It's a minefield out there, and you can step one place and your life is over. We need to pray constantly for our young people and our young adults. There are some older adults as well as Christians who are not walking as they could as well, even as they should with God, and they're walking all over minefields. Because Satan is just as strong when you're young as he is when you're old. He is. But let's also congratulate them for having taken that earthly walk in their cap and gown. And let's continue to pray that they also will, by God's saving grace, take that eternal walk in their robe and crown. So we're looking for. We're looking to have that robe and that crown and walk the streets of heaven. It's a wonderful thing. And it's admirable that you have walked in your cap and gown. But boy, won't it be wonderful to walk in that, that robe and crown. Let me extend God's invitation to you. I'd said to myself that I wasn't going to be long this morning. I look like I'm a beat the time. Amen. So let me extend God's invitation of salvation to you. It comes right out of 1 John chapter 1. Listen to God. This is what he says. To those of us who are Christians that have been erring in the way, this calls you to come back to your senses and come back to God. For those of us who have never been Christians and have never made up our mind to follow God because we feel in some type of way, listen to what God says in 1 John chapter 1. This is the message which you have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness. No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So many times we have failed to hear what our parents had to say. So many times we have regretted to do the things that our parents have asked us to do. So many times we've regretted that we've heard the word of God and we've spurned his invitation. So many times we've got ourselves in a situation where we said that we believe in God, but the world comes up against us and we hide our faith. But even the demons believe in God and they tremble because they won't obey. We don't need you to tremble. We need you to obey God's word if you believe in God. Let's show that. Let's repent of our sins. For far too long, we find ourselves in and out, in and out, in and out of this world. Riding two horses, one foot in the church and one foot in the world. It's not going to happen. God is not going to tolerate that, to repent of our sins. To confess Christ, because if we confess Christ, he is faithful to forgive us, and he will cleanse us from all of our sins in baptism. He will cleanse us in baptism. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 says, for we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's no other way to get into Christ or his church except to be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. There's no other reason. No other reason. And there's no reason or excuse that you can give me as to why you can't walk circumspectly, why you can't walk carefully as God has called you to walk. And that's what I'm calling you to do today, whether you're young or old, whether you're 18 or 80, whether you're graduated or getting ready to graduate, whether you're going to work or whether you never work. I'm calling you to obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and walk with him. Because if you're not walking with God, you're walking with Satan in this world. If we can help you this morning to start a purposeful walk, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word.
Whether you're one today that want to walk with God or continue your walk with God as well, if you strayed away, will you come? Will there be one today to respond to the gospel and be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins?
And with all who will trust and obey.
Whether you're one today, will you come?
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.